Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, baby.
Hello, my love.
Ready for another week of talking about
our favorite subject,
sex, relationships, human touch. All the things.
I just came from an osteo appointment and she hurt me.
That's my favorite type of like
pain.
I was going to say my favorite type of like body work. Is the body work, whether it be physio, massage, osteo, it's when they're like, this is going to hurt.
That's how you know it's working.
Maybe that's why I like hot sauce. Like maybe I am a, you know, just to link this back to like sex.
Okay.
I've never really been into like being the sub, and it just doesn't like click for me. And I don't typically like pain for myself in sex. Like I'm not looking to like have, you know, my back just torn to shit or, you know, like anything like that. I get it. Like, and I'm down for a little bit of it, but I've never really been drawn to it. But outside of sex, sexy time, mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I want, you know, when I go see her, I'm like, I know she's going to beat the shit out of me.
First of all, she's going to look at your body. I was thinking about you while she was treating me and just know she would look at your body. I don't even know how she'd even begin with you because when she puts
is that supposed to mean?
Well, because when she puts her hands on me, she's like, oh, yeah, I can feel like this is a little, needs a little bit of a thing. I can just imagine her putting her hands on you and be like, you're basically your most superior level, like this, the level that's furthest away from the inside of your body is like impenetrable.
I'm jacked. Fucking jacked. You know, it's good genes and actually it's bad genes. It's a genetic mutation
that gives you your 8-pack.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, because she went into my psoas, which is right there in the hip crease.
That is fucking owie.
I cried. Like, I don't like, tears came out of my
eyes. That's actually a pain I don't like.
Oh, it was.
That's the one I don't like. I don't like my, I don't like that.
That's a deep pain.
That's giving me fucking phantom pain right now.
I'm really hopeful though, because my period is due and like by the end of the week. Actually, it's supposed to land right on my birthday.
Yeah.
And I usually get really bad cramps. Mm-hmm. And I've been told by other osteos that it probably has to do with my psoas muscle tension.
The psoas muscle, for folks who are listening, if you want to see Bridie pointing to her psoas, you can go to patreon.com/turnmeon. But basically, the psoas muscle is like a deep, deep, deep hip flexor. It's one of the muscles that
allows you to lift your leg like this. Yeah, yeah, exactly. If you can see me, like pulling your knee toward your chest.
But and I might be wrong here. Any of our listeners who are pretty anatomy savvy, please correct me. turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com if you want to email us. I believe the psoas is the deepest muscle. It resides deeper than any muscle in the body, right? Like it's like it attaches, the attachment points are like your spine or your hip.
Your spine.
Yeah, right. Your spine down.
Through the groin.
Through the groin. And then the other attachment point or the insertion point, I don't know which one's which, is your femur or the back of your leg.
I think it's the front of the leg.
Front of the leg? Sure.
I think it's like the side of the knee, somewhere around the knee.
But that's fucking crazy.
It's a long muscle.
That's a fucking crazy muscle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now imagine someone who works for a living manipulating bodies and them going, I'm going to take my fingers and I'm going to dig them into your hips in a way that is fucking around with that muscle that's way deep down there.
And so tender.
Hoo-wee.
And then she asks, while she's putting pressure on it, she asks you to engage it, pull your knee in.
And that makes it ouchy.
I was like, no, my nervous system is like,
Feels like it's tearing. Every time I get my psoas worked, I feel like it's ripping. Ugh. It's a very unique and awful, torturous feeling.
But then
you come out and you're like, fuck, that I feel good.
Healed me.
Yeah, I feel good.
I've been really lucky. I mean, as I've been talking about with my skin, I've also been, I'm very lucky to be able to pursue different treatments and stuff. So I've had, several rounds of acupuncture, massage, and then osteo today. And I've taken that type of touch for granted.
Yeah, right.
You know, like we're in Nova Scotia, like our lockdown is really relaxed at this point.
Right now, yeah.
So we can go out and we can receive these kinds of like treatments here, but I know there's a lot of people really hungry for just like any kind.
Nice segue, Bride.
Thank you. You know where I'm going with this.
I do.
Yeah, so I kind of alluded to this last week, but I'm really, really excited about this. It's sort of a response to the past year where we've all been a little bit deprived, shall we say, of many things. But one of the really important things that's had tremendous effects, tremendous, is that a positive word or a negative word?
Tremendous. Well, it depends on whose mouth it's coming out of. I heard Donald Trump use the word lots and...
Oh, God. Okay, well, it's had profound impacts on our mental health, this absence of skin-to-skin contact.
Yeah.
And
everyone needs a little skin-to-skin. You know that if babies don't get like skin-to-skin, if they don't get love, they just die?
Yeah.
They just die.
Yeah.
If you don't give a baby human touch, it dies.
I'm sure anybody who's taken psychology 101 or read any sort of basic psychology has read about that particular study that they did. I wasn't prepared to talk about it.
Was that a study that they
did? Oh, yes. And they had to terminate the study because babies kept dying.
And they were like, they're plucking them out of orphanages, right?
That sounds like the place where you would get children to do experiments on. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to look that up?
I'm looking up. It's called touch empathy.
Mm.
But I don't know if they actually did the study or if they, oh Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh man.
They
U.S.
did
experiment on infants withholding affection. Yeah. In the United States, 1944, this is quite a while ago, mm-hmm. an experiment was conducted on 40 newborn infants to determine whether individuals could thrive alone on basic psychological needs without affection. 20 newborn infants were housed in a special facility where they had caregivers who would go in to feed them, bathe them, and change their diapers, but they would do nothing else. Holy shit, dude. The caregivers had been had been instructed not to look at or touch the babies more than what was necessary, never communicating with them. All their physical needs were attended to scrupulously. What a word. And the environment was kept sterile, none of the babies becoming ill. The experiment was halted after 4 months, by which time at least half of the babies had died at this point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so now let's just examine where we've been over the last year. Okay, so they halted this study. And of course, granted, we're talking about infants here, but still, that there's something very clearly stated in this study, unfortunately, which is that human touch is very important.
Like a basic human need.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just as important as being fed mm-hmm. or being hydrated. Mm-hmm. You know, like you'll die without it as a baby. So now we're like, what, 12? I mean, coming up on 12 months into COVID. And for still to this day, depending on where you live, a lot of people, I mean, thinking about the people who are single, you know, fuck, like I'm sure there's someone out there listening right now. If they were to sit and think, when was the last time I hugged a person, or when was the last time that I had any kind of like skin to skin touch, it'd be a long fucking time. Or at least there's been a large gap or a bigger lack of it than we've ever felt in a long time. Again, yeah. We're kind of lucky because we're, you know, we're in this place where, although we probably shouldn't be out hugging and stuff. I hugged a friend the other day and I was like, oh, wow. I haven't received a fucking bear hug from Chris in so long. Like and it just felt so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did it feel nice, it felt necessary.
Yeah. Did it also feel kind of dangerous?
And a little bit risky.
Yeah. Well, some of the reasons for that, what we get from it are these like pro-social chemicals in our body, like oxytocin, which reduces our stress levels, which promotes emotional bonding and a sense of trust and a sense of belonging and a sense of safety. And all of those things are things that we get from human touch. Mm. So Termion's response to this, our solution to this, or our... I don't want to say it's a solution because it's not a one-time solves-all situation. But we've been kind of cooking up an idea to help promote those happy chemicals in infiltrating your lives.
You say we, but you have been cooking this up, Rod. You've been doing a lot of work on this.
Yeah, I have been, but it's based on years of practice and right. training
yes.
that we've done together.
That's right. Yeah.
And so what we're going to bring to you, our lovely listeners, if you will join us, is a 2-hour guided session in human connection through touch. So what does that look like? We're going to lead you through a sequence of techniques, let's say, hands-on techniques for both your own physical body and a partner's physical body. And when I say a partner, this can be anybody in your bubble. Mm. It doesn't have to be a romantic partner. This is non-sexual touch, which I think also in a lot of loving, committed romantic relationships, they also have a need for non-sexual
totally,
touch.
Yeah.
And, you know, what that can bring to partnerships as well that may have gone a bit stale, or there may be long gaps in your, you know, your interest in even engaging in sexual activity. This is another way of getting a kind of touch that's really nourishing and grounding from someone that you trust in your life without the pressure or the thought in the head that it has to lead somewhere else. This is a fully like self-contained practice in, again, techniques that will lead to that sense of emotional bonding and safety and comfort.
Like a baby in a lab that's like, just craving interaction with its daily well-being provider, nourish provider.
There you go. And just as a sort of like to not illustrate, oh, there's a great word that I just can't find, but an anecdote, if you will. I have used these techniques on people in my family. I have used these techniques on many, many friends. Like I said, when Jeremy and I were in acting training or even yoga training, these sort of hands-on principles are applied to sometimes even strangers in yoga workshops. Mm-hmm. And the effects are really profound and really rewarding for both the giver and receiver, especially if you want to build your confidence in how you feel handling someone else's body. But really the experience sort of speaks for itself. And then you have all of these lovely and applicable techniques that you can take home to your anyone that you love, your kid, you know,
your roommate.
So coming at you, this will be next month, the end of March, going with March 28th. It's a Sunday. Tentatively scheduled for 3 p.m. AT, Atlantic time, Nova Scotia time, which is 2 p.m. Eastern time, so that the most of you across our time zones will be able to join us.
So the idea is putting on a virtual workshop of sorts to
cultivate connection,
cultivate human connection
with a loved one, and learn the power of your own healing hands.
Cool. How can people sign up?
Well, how about we post that link to sign up for it in our Instagram bio? We could probably add a little event section to our webpage, turnmeonpodcast.com.
Yep. While we're at it, we can chuck a link in the show notes.
Oh, that's a great idea.
To this episode. So there we go.
I'm so glad you're here.
So if you're out running or driving and you are listening to this and you're thinking, fuck, I want to sign up for this. Well, when you get home or whatever, or pull over your car, just go to the show notes, click the link, and you'll find the tickets there.
It's a great gift as well if you want to purchase it on behalf of a couple of folks you know in your life who could maybe use a little therapeutic two-hour getaway.
Well, that sounds fun. Looking forward to seeing all of you there. And that's a very, again, very much needed thing. So sweet.
I think we'll also record it. So there will be an option later to probably receive that at a discounted rate if you are not able to make it in person. Okay, that's all I wanted to say about that.
Some housekeeping out of the way. Wonderful.
What's new, Jeremy?
Nursing a back injury, working like a fucking madman on this set.
It's gorgeous.
This studio. Sick Boy has moved into our new HQ and we got a YouTube set and we're using it now for our Turn Me On foreplay segments. So if you want to see that, again, Turn Me On Podcast at patreon.com/turnmeon. And you can tune in because we're filming all of our foreplays for each episode. But today's a host episode. We're just hanging out, which is fun.
You're gonna get the whole episode on video.
And other than that, I'm just, you know, I listened to a really wonderful podcast that you had actually recommended that I actually feel like I needed to hear right now. And it's this fucking phenomenal conversation between Brené Brown on her podcast,
Unlocking Us.
And she's speaking with Dr. John Gottman and his wife,
Julie
Gottman, the founding members of the Gottman Institute. And they're basically talking to Brené Brown about long-lasting relationships and how to cultivate a relationship with a partner that is long-lasting. Mm-hmm. And I just found it to be really, really fascinating. And it made me think a lot about, the things that have really worked for you and I in our relationship. And it kind of reminded me of the important things that one needs to take into a relationship and consider when they're in like maybe a newer relationship, if that is a relationship that they want to like foster for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Such a like wonderful conversation. I mean, Brené Brown's she's like one of my heroes. She's so amazing. But the Gottmans, these two are just like, they're so fucking cute.
Aren't they adorable?
They're really adorable. So basically what they kind of like, they talk about a whole bunch of things, but what they sort of break down are like the four. So the Gottmans are, you know, she's a clinician and he's like a researcher and a scientist.
And a therapist.
And so they basically like combine their superpower forces to study a vast array of couples, newlywed couples over a span of X amount of years, to basically come up with like this framework that essentially can predict with like up to 90% plus accuracy how a relationship will, whether or not a relationship will last, depending on how these like sort of four key elements show up within the way that this couple communicates to one another. And these four things are essentially like the four, what do they call them?
They call them the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah. So like they're four don'ts, essentially four big red flags. And if these four things are continuously showing up and aren't worked on, then it's very likely that this relationship will never last.
Ugh.
And so, you know, when I was listening to this conversation, when they were going through these four things, I was catching myself going, oh, I know where that shows up in my life, where I do that, or where like I fall into that pitfall within a relationship. Every single one of the four, I was like, I do that sometimes. Mm. I do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's in the, you know, that's with me and Leah, that's between you and me, like all relationships. Like I do those things. And so it made me excited. That sounds kind of heavy, like as if I'm realizing like, oh no, I'm a bad partner. But it wasn't that. It was this feeling of like, oh fuck, wow, this is very exciting. I have some definitive work to do if I want to be the best partner that I can be. And one of the like the overarching messages of this conversation was the masters of relationships. So like the people who really fucking nail it, the one thing that is the through line for all of those folks is like a really dialed in friendship. Mm. It's like, it's all about the friendship that you've developed with your loved one, with your partner. Take us through the four points that they brought up. It was also really interesting. I really highly suggest you go listen to it. I don't have it up here right now, but I can find the episode number. But they also talk about how the pandemic is essentially, for pretty much like everyone in any relationship, has very likely brought at least one of these horsemen of the apocalypse up to the surface, because we're so not used to the relationship dynamics that we're all being thrown into because of a fucking pandemic. Like the way it affects us on a social level is just, it's incomprehensible. It was a very, very fucking interesting and fascinating conversation. But what are the
definitely
four?
Check it out. Okay. Points? So the first one is criticism. And they sort of define that as an attack on someone's character. So it's like a complaint, but expressed in a way that is a criticism. So, for example, like, you're selfish.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's attacking your character, if I am to say something like that to you.
Yeah.
And one of the things they say is that it's totally understandable to want an explanation for your own negative feelings, and blame is like such a go-to that
sure.
we have.
Yeah.
But, you know, you also might encounter this with like people. This has always been, I think this was the thing with you and I as well, but like, don't say you always do this.
Yeah, right.
Don't say you never do that.
Yeah.
Because those are just like, that just pigeonholes you so, such an awful feeling.
And again, these like four horsemen of the apocalypse, these are things that they're like really specifically referring to, at least that from what I gathered, they're specifically referring to the way we show up during an argument or mm-hmm. a fight. So this is like when these things come up in communication, in conflict.
Yes, but also they can lead
yes, sure.
to conflict.
Yes,
like, for example, criticism yeah. is yeah. almost always met with defensiveness,
right.
which is another horseman of the apocalypse. It comes a little bit later because the first two are really important. They right. say if you can really like hone in on these first two, it can help prevent the other two from
yes.
showing up.
Yeah.
Okay, so criticism. They also said basically it indicates that you might have a consistently negative personal flaw about you if I criticize you. And it can feel like an assault or a rejection. Mm-hmm. It can feel really hurtful. I am so sensitive to criticism.
Yeah.
You know, anything I even perceive as a criticism, I can't handle it. So
keep your emails, your criticism emails. just keep them
to yourself.
To yourself. I'm joking. Send them along. Fucking school us.
So then they make the distinction that a complaint addresses a specific behavior or action. It doesn't blame. Mm-hmm. So you want to switch from criticism to being able to express a complaint in such a way that doesn't blame the other person. So they say a complaint that expresses, and I'll put this in quotation marks, a positive need.
Right.
Right? So using I words, like, I would appreciate if you washed the dishes before I came home.
As opposed to...
You never wash the dishes.
You are a slob.
Yeah.
The dishes are never washed.
Yeah.
And it's
your
fault.
You do nothing.
Right. But what would be more helpful would be, hey, I feel stressed out because the kitchen is a mess.
Yeah.
Can you do the dishes while I'm at work?
Yes.
So that when I come home, I feel calm.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
That's great.
Thanks.
You know, I was listening because you could easily say, you know, I feel this way because you didn't wash the dishes.
Right.
And again, that's like a blame. I feel this way because you did something.
Yes.
So you avoided that when you, good job. Baby.
Thanks.
Good job.
Yeah. That is one that I have a problem with that.
You have a problem with it?
I do. I have a problem communicating that.
Okay. It's hard. I mean, this is not like a quick, like easy thing to remember to do for sure. It probably more likely that you're going to notice it after you did it. And then think about how you maybe should have done it
in a way
that was more productive. What they call that is they call it the gentle or the soft startup. So if you have something, if there's something that you need to bring up with your partner that's about a behavior and an action that's made you feel a certain way, they suggest that you use these I statements.
Right.
I would appreciate it. I would like it. And use words like, I would appreciate, or please, you know? And they also say in the podcast too, like, it's going to feel fucking weird when you first do it. It's going to feel really unnatural for sure.
And also, they didn't say this, but I do think it's probably worth mentioning. Not only will it likely feel weird for you to say this, it's probably going to feel weird for the person on the other side
to hear it,
you know, like they're which... I wouldn't be surprised that if like this is a kind of new framework of communicating, it very likely could result in some defensiveness coming up, you know?
Still could, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, there's And again, that was one of the things that they were talking about, like these people who are like the masters of relationships. It's like, it's not just these four things that they do. They're also working. They're also doing this while considering their partner's past traumas and the, you know, like there's, it's like that fucking meme that you see sometimes of like someone who's like trying, like the wheels are turning in their head, but you have like the images of like arithmetic, like floating through space and time. There's a lot of fucking calculations that are going on here at once. So, you know, when you do listen, when you do, because this is like required listening, I think, for everyone.
Yeah.
And even if you are already like a master at relationships, like it's just this, it really is something else. So when you do listen to this, just keep in mind that like this shit takes work. Like this is.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Like when I think about myself personally and, you know, like I said, I'm really sensitive. So even if somebody did word something like this to me, I would probably still feel a little bit defensive. Sure. And so that's why the Gottman Institute website is amazing, because they have, oh my God, it's incredible. They have.
I see you signed us up for their newsletter.
Yeah,
it just came in my inbox.
Because their blog posts are all written by like incredible researchers at their place, and they break down, like they break, this is where I took a lot of notes from their page, but they also have like a little video of Julie Gottman speaking about like what happens when you try this and it's still fails. Conflict.
Right.
Yeah. So those resources are there.
Great.
But particularly with this one, with criticism and avoiding being the giver of criticism, I find this hard. They say focus on how you're feeling and what your needs are. So the focus is on me. I have a criticism that I want to like toss at you, but if I focus on my feelings and what my needs are, then it's actually a little bit more vulnerable than that. I have to go, my feelings are hurt because you would rather. No, my feelings are hurt because I want your attention.
Right.
And I'm not receiving as much of it as I would like.
Right.
And that's like what's more likely to happen is the other thing that they say. Don't.
Is that how you're feeling?
Do.
Are you feeling that right now, that you're not getting enough of my attention?
Probably. I've come to identify over the last month, especially with my skin and my wildly swinging mood swings, that I have a lot of unmet needs, I think, that I only know how to express through conflict.
Right. Ain't that a bitch.
It's a doozy. Because one of the things they say that do not do is don't let things build up.
Yeah.
And you've seen, I just at some point, the littlest thing just explode. Is like, and then it's a laundry list. I mean, we dealt with that a lot. Before. It's just like I have a laundry list of complaints. So I know that I personally really have to just be more aware of when I have needs and when they're not being met.
Sure. Yep.
Okay.
Turn Me On Podcast. We'll be back after this short break.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So then we go to...
So the first one was... Remind us.
Criticism.
Criticism. Which moves into...
The scary one. Contempt.
Contempt. And you don't want contempt.
No. Contempt yeah. is defined as meanness, disrespect, sarcasm, ridicule, name-calling, mimicking, body language like eye-rolling or scoffing gives the sense that the person is somehow superior to
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And they say that this can be fueled by long simmering negative thoughts about the partner.
Yeah.
It's the single greatest predictor of divorce. Contempt.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's the thing that festers, you know, it's like, it's not just in the moment. It's long after the moment has passed. And not only is it existing in what it or like it not only it's kind of like it, it's kind of like Alien, you know, the alien, the chest buster busts out of the guy's chest, and that's the contempt. That's the beginning of the contempt. It's just this little weird fucking worm, and they couldn't catch it in time, and the worm got away, and it's only a matter of like a like half hour before that thing is big enough to rip someone's face off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, another half hour later, big enough to eat a whole human.
Yeah.
It just grows and grows and, until it takes over the whole spaceship. And then next thing you know, Ripley's caught in the escape pod with the ultimate contempt, which is the super being that is Alien. And then at that point, is it even possible to shoot it out the escape, to blast it out of the the escape hatch is escape hatch. I don't know.
Well, I think that's an interesting analogy. And I also think it's, I also makes me wonder if there are any long-term listeners who can tell us exactly how many times you've referenced Alien over our entire catalog of episodes. Yeah. So one cool thing about, you can find this on the website as well, is that every one of these four horsemen has what they call an antidote.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is relieving.
Yeah.
Right?
It's helpful. Yeah. So there's a short-term antidote, which is, again, incorporating more of those I statements.
Right.
Right? That's the short-term. But there's a much longer-term sort of medicine that's required when you have this in your relationship. And that, they say, is building a culture in your relationship of fondness and admiration. So small, focusing on small, positive things every day. And it's like filling up a piggy bank. It's like so that when you get to conflict and some of these expressions of contempt might start to surface, you actually have a body of, you know, appreciation and fortification of that friendship that supports you. So it doesn't,
yeah, right.
It doesn't all fall apart.
Yeah. It's like the foundation is strong enough that when the tidal wave comes and smashes into it, it's not demolishing the entire foundation. It's just chipping away at small pieces. And luckily there's still a strong foundation left when it's all over.
It's a practice,
and
right?
Keep building it up. So like, what are these like, what's an example of this, of what these small little things could be, like compliments or like what else?
I think also just thinking about your partner in a positive way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right.
Avoiding repeating thoughts to yourself about your partner is this way or they like even avoiding criticizing them in your head.
Yeah.
Which is really hard. If that's something that was modeled to you, like these these four fucking horsemen, you know, going through the stage of my life that I'm going through and processing the loss of my dad, I'm like, and learning, thinking about how, what I learned about conflict and what I learned about loving relationships based on the models that I had in my life, I'm like, oh shit, I'm in trouble because I like this, like I wish my dad had had this education.
Sure, yeah.
You know, like, well, but he's an eye roller and a scoffer.
No one has, though. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, no one has this education.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. There's an organization in the U.S. I asked one of the reps to come on the show because they came on Sick Boy, but they were like,
not turn me on?
Yeah, they said no to turn me on because their whole MO is teaching youth how to love. And so they were like, we're youth focused and your show seems a little more adult. And I was like, okay, whatever. Fair enough. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I was going to chase it, but learning to love is like something that they're trying to work into curriculums.
That's so, you know, so cool.
Yeah.
Right next to financial literacy.
Yeah. That's yeah. Right.
Yeah. So they also suggest like daily expressions and gestures of appreciation, kindness, love, and support. So just taking the time to say the things that you do appreciate about someone,
whether it's to yourself or to that person.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool.
And it creates a solidarity in the couple.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting because I hadn't heard anybody say this to me in conflict before Todd, but he would always say like, we're on the same team.
Yeah.
When we're fighting. And I think when I'm feeling criticized, let's say, I go into fight or flight. And it's like, you know.
Yeah.
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 And we do.
And fight or flight kind of just breeds fight or flight. You know, it's like it's a vicious cycle. I feel like I'm really good at that. Not at, I feel like I'm naturally pretty good at the antidote there.
Right.
Of those little.
Yeah.
Those little seeds.
Yeah.
But that's just like my love language. Like right. Words of affirmation is like, it's kind of annoying.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It's maybe borderline too much.
It's definitely something I need to work on. All right. So are we ready to move on from contempt?
Yep. Let's do it.
Okay. So the third horseman of the apocalypse is defensiveness, which is typically a response to criticism or perceived criticism. It's a form of self-protection, and it's a way of turning it around to blame the other person for things that they're maybe blaming you for or you may be feeling blamed for. So the antidote to defensiveness is to take responsibility.
Also really hard.
Really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Acknowledge your role in the problem. Accept your partner's perspective. Very hard.
Even when you don't agree.
Even when you don't agree.
That was a really interesting point that, and it totally makes sense, but like when they talked about that on the podcast, that was something that I clocked big time, where it was like, just even if you don't agree, don't even show that. Just nod and go, okay. Yeah. Okay. Like
that's their perspective. It's how they feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. and usually you're reacting to words as opposed to what the person is saying.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Oh. Right. Didn't think about it like that.
Because people can use words. You know, a certain word may be really loaded for me.
Yeah.
That's not for you. You know.
Right.
If you tell me I'm.
God, that's fucking infuriating.
It's hard. It's a hard
that
thing.
That's so. I hate that so much. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you like, it's like I've run into this in relationships before, where I'll text like okay, period, and then the text is read like oh, he put a period after saying okay. He must hate me or like something's wrong or why is he so pissed because there's a period and it's like, my intention.
You clearly ended the conversation. There was a period there.
Yeah. Yeah. My intention is to end the sentence, which well, it's not even a sentence, you know,
that's why I don't text people anymore.
But that it's that ver- like that version of that within a conversation where it's like you use you you're trying to say something and you use a word, but maybe for that person that word holds a lot of weight, and you didn't know. You didn't.
If somebody says
you didn't realize.
If somebody says that's stupid, I feel like what they're saying is
you're stupid.
You're stupid.
Yeah, right.
So that word is a huge trigger for me.
Yeah, right.
And
what if someone says this is stupid?
No, I like that.
You do. You like
well,
it.
I like okay. it when you say it because I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that's my go-to a lot is yeah. like, this is stupid. But I also understand, I now understand that that sometimes, that that very often can be conflated with this relationship's stupid, yeah. which is like, that's not, I never mean that. I just, I'm always like, man, this like,
yeah,
I mean it in the grand scheme of like, we are on a rock hurtling through space. Millions of miles per hour, everything is meaningless. This is stupid that we're fighting against about burnt toast,
yeah,
like, or fucking whatever, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
So take responsibility for what you can.
Yeah,
and you know, because anything else is just gonna escalate it into the direction you don't want to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now we've gotten to the fourth one. This is the last one. It's called stonewalling.
This is one that I've recently become aware of.
Yeah.
just through like researching trauma and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's something that, again, this was one of those things where I went, ah, I do that.
Yeah.
I do that when I get really exhausted.
Yes. Well, that's what they say. It happens usually when you're flooded.
Yeah.
When you just can't, you can't do anything anymore. And it, they say that it comes... This is one that usually comes later on after no work has been done on the others.
Mm.
Eventually it's sort of a last resort. It's a way of tuning out, of withdrawing it, when you stop responding or maybe you're acting busy or engaging in obsessive or distracting behaviors. And it's because in that time of being flooded with emotion, you're not really able to like think rationally
yeah.
or form clear thoughts.
Mm. They go on to describe stonewalling as rather than confronting the issue, someone who is stonewalling will be totally unresponsive, making evasive maneuvers such as tuning out, turning away, acting busy, or engaging in obsessive behaviors. It takes time for the negativity created by the first three horsemen to become overwhelming enough that stonewalling becomes an understandable out. But when it does, it frequently becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, it's like if you get to that point where stonewalling becomes a tactic or not a tactic, that's the wrong word, but like a symptom of the relationship or of the conflict, then it starts to, it just sort of like arises a lot easier and starts yeah. to become habitual where it's like, oh, we're fighting again. I guess now it's, I'm going to check out and look at my phone or, you know, whatever the fuck, or I'm going to check out and walk away yeah. or, you know.
Yeah. And I have a complicated relationship with that because, you know, when we talked to Jake Ernst a while back about roots of safety and the walking away, I was like, it feels healthy to walk away because when I'm flooded,
mm-hmm.
nothing's going to come out of my mouth that's productive.
Right.
And probably it's going to come out, I'm coming out swinging.
Yeah. But it is healthy. And they go on to describe this. It is healthy if it is used in a way where both partners are understanding that this is where the conflict has gotten us to. Maybe let's take a breather. And not just like, let's take some space and leave it at that. It's like, be really specific mm-hmm. about that. In saying that, I mean, put a time limit, a cap on it.
Yeah.
So let's take 30 minutes
yeah.
and be very specific to that time period.
Yeah.
As opposed to going, I'm fucking going for a walk and leaving.
Yeah.
And because then all of a sudden, the recipient on the other end starts to have feelings of abandonment or, you know, whatever might arise from that, which then just doesn't fucking help.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I thought was really interesting about that statement of like, okay, yeah, take a breather. Like that's good. Walk away. Make it specific. Yeah. Come back. But while you're gone, really walk away. Like, really walk away from the entire fucking situation. Don't go and think about everything that was just happening and then think about, you know, what am I going to come, what, when I return, what will I say?
Yeah.
Just truly get away from all of it to get the space that you need to like heal, because otherwise you're just going to keep yourself in that higher, that heightened state of fight or flight of, you know, fear, anxiety, anger, whatever the fuck had come up. Like, your heart rate will still be up. Your frontal cortex is like still going to be like pew, 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 firing off. So like, when you take space and
take care of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Take care of yourself or find something to do that distracts you so that you actually get some space from it.
Yeah, they call it physiological self-soothing.
Hmm.
Just like you said it better than they did, actually. But they say avoid thoughts of righteous indignation and victimhood.
Hmm.
Yeah, so those are the
four
horsemen.
They said it better there.
Well.
That's some words.
Righteous indignation.
Them some words right there.
Yeah. Several syllables were used. That's the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah. So like I said before we started getting into this, is like I'm excited to like sink my teeth into that. I always want to be better. I always want to be better, whether it's a better podcaster, whether it's a better friend, whether it's a better, you know, a better ally, whether it's a better lover. Like, I want to be better. And so I'm excited to like be more mindful about this type of shit and like really put myself to work. Those fucking flies. If you want to see the fly that Brady's flicking, patreon.com/turnmeon. But those flies, because of the plants, they're all over the condo too. What's up with that, folks? If you're listening and you know, I got IKEA plants, and I've never been a plant person. I got them in the apartment, and I love them. But all these like little gnats are showing up now, and I don't love them.
No, I don't love them either.
I've been I'm finally living in a place where I don't have roommates, and now I got a bunch of fucking roommates that are moving in rent free.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I don't know. Maybe there's like a spray. I've heard neem oil is a really good spray to put on it. And you can get that at like health food stores.
Health food stores. It's not like toxic and shit.
No, it's not toxic. Okay. You can like, it's used for body, like healing physical, your human body as well.
Oh yeah. I think you had that. Though.
Yeah. I used it for a mouthwash when I had a tooth infection.
Right. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It's interesting. I don't know if I should bring this up. I wanted to bring this up, but maybe not today, but I will say, you mentioned that you said that thing about keep your email criticisms to yourself.
Are you going to bring up the email that we just recently got?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to bring that up right now.
Okay, actually. Cool. We got an email from a longtime listener
I'll read it right now.
Okay, great.
I just said they're being better and being like a better ally and being a better lover. I want to also be a better lover for everyone's ears. hey, folks, I'm a longtime listener. Love you guys and all the work that you do. Your candid combos have helped improve my relationship and sex in a myriad of ways. I just wanted to send this email because occasionally some of the language that you use isn't always the most inclusive. Sometimes it can be a little bit unfeminist/transphobic. However, I have noticed that Jeremy has stopped saying ladies and gentlemen, and I thank you immensely for that change. And I should say, I stopped saying that because
another email.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because fuck, to me, ladies and gentlemen, like,
we're showbiz people.
Yeah, exactly. I went to theater school. Like
the first thing they teach you.
That's literally day one. They go, all right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the, but I realize that's not as inclusive, and there's a, you know, but it's one of those things where it's like, when I'm talking to someone, I'm like, hey man, what's up?
Yeah.
It's that throw away, like, I don't mean it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't truly mean it. Like, this is only for the ladies and only for the gentlemen.
Right, yeah.
I want everybody to be listening or everyone to pay attention. But now I do understand that that is not very inclusive. So Thank you. I just want to say thanks for noticing that, because it is something that I actually like actively had to work on. For example, so back to some of the things that we do not do well.
Yeah.
For example, Bridie, you mentioned something about your cycle, and then you were explaining to Jeremy about your period and said something like, quote, when women get their period, this is what happens,
yeah,
unquote. But there are lots of people who menstruate who aren't women, and we both know this.
I know that, and I apologize for saying that. That is something I usually have a moment of recognizing. I also just want to share that I've learned a new phrase that I really like, is people who were socialized as women, because there's a whole aspect of, like, you know, of the personality that comes with those socialized as women, to be polite and, you know,
demure.
Exactly. And anyway, that's a new phrase I'm learning to incorporate as well.
They go on to say, for instance, trans men who haven't had hysterectomies, non-binary folks, etc. So saying something like people who menstruate,
copy that,
or something like that would be more inclusive.
Thank you.
Also, I was severely shocked the other day when I was listening to one of your more recent episodes and Jeremy said something about his friends being such a bunch of pussies. What the fuck? Big no-no. Using female genitalia as a negative descriptor to indicate someone who is weak, anything negative, is super sexist and unnecessary. There are lots of words that you can use that say what you mean better. Example, immature, ridiculous, etc. Sorry, I love you guys, but I don't feel comfortable recommending your podcast to queer friends because of these little things, and would appreciate if you could do some research into how you can make sure that your language is a little bit less exclusionary. Again, thank you for everything you do. So so I will apologize there that I use the word pussy in that context. I don't do that very often. I even I clocked it when I said it, and I went, oh, that was weird. I haven't said pussy like that in a long time. Although I will say, I do love the word pussy. Mm-hmm. Not to berate my friends by calling them pussies because, you know, whatever, they didn't do something, and I think that they're weak. I love it as a word to describe
vaginas.
I mean I love all swears. So, like, I love the word pussy. I love the word cock. Mm. I love the word, you know, I love the word. I truly love the word cunt. I think the word cunt is one of the most fun. I think it's a beautiful fucking word. Probably gonna get an email about that. but I do fully acknowledge that saying someone is a pussy, in that context is not. That's not okay. So. First of all, I'll say sorry to whoever I called a pussy. And secondly, I will say I'm sorry that I used the word pussy in that way, especially to anyone who truly was offended by it, because that is not my intention to offend.
I thank you for that. I don't use the word pussy.
I know you don't.
just because I don't really have a connection to that with regards to my body.
Do you not even use the word pussy when you're, like, doing sex talk, sexy talk?
Nah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like it.
No. Interesting.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like one of those random things that just never worked for me. Kind of like this other random thing that makes me feel really awkward, which is carrying a food tray. You know, like at a cafeteria when you have to get a tray and you put food in?
Yeah.
It's the thing. My whole body just recoils at it.
At carrying a food tray?
Yeah, it just makes me feel, I don't know, it makes me really uncomfortable. Like what, the word, like, pussy
the,
does.
The look of it or the action of doing it?
I don't know what it is. I've just always had a bit of an aversion to it.
That's weird.
Maybe like a past life, like,
yeah,
sort of like perhaps a beggar archetype sort of feeling to it. Like, please, sir, can I have some more?
If you were in the heat, if you were, maybe sex talk isn't your
thing,
but if you were in the heat of the moment,
if I was in the heat of the moment,
and you were like, you know, I recently heard, like, my pussy is so wet.
Right
now. Like in the midst of, like,
I might text some hot. It.
Sure. Okay. But I'm saying, like, in person.
Yeah.
If you were like, I want to communicate that I'm I'm soaking wet and turned on, or I'm feeling very filled up in this moment.
Yeah.
Like, would you go?
I would just say I'm so wet.
Or you just say I'm feeling very full.
Like of what? Why would I ever say, just because there's something in it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe your partner is, who has a penis is extra
girthy,
swelled up that day because they're so turned on by you.
Yeah.
And you feel it and you want to communicate that. Would you be like, my vagina is,
I was having sex with someone once
to the brim.
I was having sex with someone one time and I meant to say, I think I've said this before, I meant to say, I love your dick.
Yeah, yeah. And you said, I love you. And this was like a casual sex.
Like a casual sex partner.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to deflect and tell you that I listened to this other podcast.
Okay. All right. Yeah, sure.
Called Sex with Emily. Have you ever listened to that podcast?
No, I haven't.
She had Joanna Angel on.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. And she was talking, she was like, the episode was called like Dirty Talk with Joanna Angel.
Nice.
Fucking listen to it because Emily had to.
If anyone knows about Dirty Talk.
It's Joanna Angel.
She is filthy.
She's got a filthy mouth.
Yeah.
And it's great to just like listen to her like they just roll off the tongue, you know. Yeah. But she's having this conversation with Emily and Emily's like, you know, a lot of my listeners, they want to know how they can like start using Dirty Talk in the bedroom. Like, you know, they just don't know how. They don't know how to start. And Joanna Angel is just like, she's like, well, you either go for it, you go all in, or you just keep, you don't say anything. Emily had to get back on after the interview and be like, so I re-listened to it and I'm just not totally sure it's going to be super relatable for a lot of my listeners because it's like jumping right into the deep end.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I got to say, like, out of all the sexual encounters that I've had, it's really rare that there's been like in the heat of the moment sex, like dirty talk. More often than not, it was like text based before something hot happening in real life or something. But so whenever it was like in the middle of sex and hearing something like probably like something like Joanna Angel would say.
Yeah.
It's
sensory overload.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's like, there's that moment of like, whoa, what did you just say? Like, oh my God.
I think anytime I have like really gone for it, I've always been a little bit intoxicated, just a little loose-tongued.
Yeah.
But otherwise I'm into it with texting. Cause it's like storytelling.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
yeah,
I can get behind that, but there's just something about my...
I love it now. Now I'm like, now it's when it comes out, I'm like, that was cool. That was fun. That was cool. I don't feel good. I don't feel confident in it, mm-hmm. in like my own version of it.
Yeah.
So I don't really do it. But when it's given to me, when it's at me, I'm like, ooh.
But also, you know, what's interesting is like so if you've ever had sex with somebody who speaks a language that you don't speak, just like anything that they say. In that language is just like in the heat of the moment, the sound of the voice, the sound of someone is, especially if it's their, like their first language,
because
they can,
that's something I never experienced. That would be fun to have sex with someone who's like first language was like Russian or something. And they just start fucking talking in Russian. I'd be like, I have no idea what you're saying right now, but this is very
moments before.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Speaking of language and how language changes, I got one little thing here. We can end on this if you want.
All right.
Where is it? I had it up here. This is the worst when this happens on a podcast because people are expecting you to keep things running smoothly.
Well, I can tell you a quick little thing.
Damn it. I found it, but go ahead.
Oh, you found it? Yeah. I was just going to... No, you. Let's do it if you found it. Let's,
are you sure? Well, no, you can't fucking
tell you
do that. That's like going, I have to say something.
Can we talk?
Yeah.
No, I was going to give you my just the tip, so I can wait.
All right. I found this really interesting piece on mental floss. I don't know how this came across my attention. But it's 17 euphemisms for sex from the 1800s.
Yes, I love this already.
So let's see. Again, this is coming from mentalfloss.com. While shoehorning these into conversation today might prove difficult, these 17 synonyms for sex were used often enough in the 19th century England to earn a place in the 1811 Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue, a book for upper crust Britons who had no idea what members of the lower classes were talking about.
Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue.
The 1811 Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue. Number one, amorous congress. To say two people were engaged in amorous congress was by far the most polite option on the list, oftentimes serving as the definition for other less discreet synonyms. Basket making. I'm going to say this with a. I'm going to say this with my best English accent. Basket making.
Sorry, English.
Those two recently quote. Those two recently opened a basket making shop. From a method of making children's stockings in which knitting the heel is called basket making. Bread and butter.
Okay.
Bread and butter. As the 1811 Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue puts it, this refers to one person on top of the other. Rumor has it, quote, rumor has it, he found her bread and butter fashion with the neighbor.
Oh, laying prone.
He found her bread and butter fashion with the neighbor.
They're both buck naked, banging on the bathroom floor.
Well, yeah, that's going to work into the 2020 Dictionary of the Vulgar. Number four, brush. Quote, yeah, we had a brush once.
Oh.
The emphasis here is on brevity. Just a fling. No big deal.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a brush.
A brush.
I like that. I actually really like that.
I like it too. Good.
Click it. They left together, so they're probably a click it.
A click it?
This was originally used only for foxes, but became less specific as more and more phrases for doing it were needed. One definition from the 1811 Dictionary of the Vulgar Tongue maintains the term's original outdoorsy nature. Quote, the man and woman are copulating in the ditch. Number six, face making. Aside from the obvious, this also comes from making children, because babies have faces.
and faces, orgasm faces.
Face making. They're making
faces.
AKA making a baby because babies have faces.
Yeah, that's all right.
Seven, blanket hornpipe.
What?
There is probably no way to use this in seriousness or discreetly, but there you have it.
Blanket hornpipe.
Number eight. Blow the groundsels. Groundsels are foundation timbers, so to have sex on the floor.
Oh.
Blow the groundsels.
Okay.
Convival society. Similar to amorous congress, in that this was a gentler term suitable for even the noble classes to use, even if they only whispered it. Convival society. Number 10. Take a flyer. Flyers being shoes. This is to have sex while still dressed or without going to bed.
Okay.
Take a flyer.
Take a flyer.
Take a flyer.
All right.
You want to go take a flyer?
Fly by night.
Yeah. Number 11. Green gown. Giving a girl a green gown can only happen in the grass.
Oh. Grass stains.
I like that one.
I like it.
This one's fucking great. I have no idea what this is. Lobster kettle. A woman who sleeps with soldiers coming in at the port is also said to make a lobster kettle of herself.
Oh.
Whoa. Oh, wow. Lobster kettle.
I'm thinking of like penises and the vagina being like the hot. The penis is the lobster and the vagina is like the pot, the pot.
That's the pot water. that you put the lobster. Those lobsters in. Yeah. Okay. The hot pot could be the asshole too. Melting moments. Those shared by a fat man and woman in amorous congress.
I'm sorry, what?
Melting moments.
Melting moments.
Those shared by, quote, a fat man and woman in amorous congress.
Okay.
14. Pully Holly. A game at Pully Holly is a series of affairs.
Oh.
Pully Holly. We got three more. Number 15. Riding St. George. In the story of St. George and the dragon reared up from the lake to tower over the saint, quote, playing at St. George, or, quote, riding St. George, casts a woman as the dragon and puts her on top. Number 16, a stitch. Similar to having a brush, making a stitch is a casual affair.
Oh, yeah.
I like
just
that
another
one too.
Stitch in my...
Yeah, we just had a little stitch. Yeah, we made a brush.
It's a little stitch in my embroidery.
And then the last one here, tiff. A tiff could be a minor argument or falling out, yeah, as we know it. But in the 19th century, it was also a term for eating or drinking between meals, or in this case, a quickie.
Oh, a tiff.
Tiff, a quick fuck.
And
quick
and then,
smosh.
And then, so in the 2020 version, we'll have make fuck in there.
Make fuck. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Turn me on original.
Isn't that fun? Yeah. All right. Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning in this week.
Now you are taking away my just the tips after I,
oopsie
I planted the seed and you told me I couldn't do that.
Whoopsie.
I'm just going to tell you real quick.
Are you looking for it? Because
no,
I got one.
It's a podcast that I've been listening to. You know, I've been on a bit of true crime.
Yep. I know what this is.
This one's called Culpable.
Oh, this is different. Oh,
have
okay.
you not listened to this
no,
yet?
No,
no.
That word is just too much of a mouthful.
Culpable.
Culpable.
It explores an unsettled case. This is like Serial, so every episode is about the same case, and okay. it tells a story. It progresses like quite. I'm only in the middle of it, so I don't know what's going to happen. It's about a 2014 death of a young man. That was deemed a suicide by the police after about 45 minutes on the scene. But there's tons of evidence that was never considered, never examined, and no one's ever been charged or like the original police force have consistently
denied
that they're covering anything up or anything like that, but it's incredibly suspicious. It's a beautiful family too that it happened to, and they'll in the first episode they'll for sure just like grab you by the heartstrings.
Okay,
yeah.
Sounds heavy. I gotta adjust the tips. If you're looking for a good movie on date night and you want to make it weird, not like the Holy Mountain weird, but like. Like just weird enough. So remember the let the Right One In?
Yeah.
Fantastic vampire film, but also beautiful love story about a young boy whose neighbor moves in next door and she's a vampire and she's also a young girl. And they hit it off and they become good friends and who knows? Maybe they fall in love. But
do you have a preference between the American and the original?
The American one was just awful.
Oh, really? Was
so it's a Swedish film is the original. Do not fuck with the American one if you haven't seen it. Does not do it justice. Watch the original Swedish film. Phenomenal. Like one of the best genre films. In the last like 20 years, like it's truly phenomenal film. The same writer wrote a film that came out in 2018, and I just my friend AJ had just recommended this to me. Thank you, AJ. It's called Border, and I won't say anything about it. But what I will say is that it is, if you liked Let the Right One In, you will most certainly love this film. Again, Swedish film. And similar in terms of there's romance, you know, it's a very, but it's like, it's not like any kind of romantic film you've ever seen.
Okay.
Like Let the Right One In. Highly, highly, highly suggest watching it. Border, B-O-R-D-E-R, like the border of countries.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, then I think that's officially it.
I think that's officially it. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Turn Me On Podcast. Again, if you want to watch this entire episode, it is available on our Patreon amongst many other fun things like merch. Patreon.com/turnmeon. You can head over there and support the podcast without the support of our patrons. It's a big part of that allows us to continue to do this. So actually, like
100% of that.
100% of that is keeping this afloat. So thank you so much to all of our patrons. And if you want to become a part of the Patreon community that we have going, and again, watch these foreplay episodes from the beautiful new Sick Boy set, patreon.com/turnmeon.
It really does mean the world to us in terms of helping us produce this podcast and spend time doing the research that we really want to bring to each and every episode. You can also reach out to us at turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. And you can visit us on Instagram if you want at Turn Me On Podcast. And mm-hmm. we do have a website, turnmeonpodcast.com. And in the show notes, so just a reminder, you're going to find a link to be able to purchase a spot in our online human connection through touch little workshop session.
That is it for this week.
Sure is. Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.